a great time as we worship the Lord together and as the preaching of the word goes forth. So come on and out, May 6th and 7th, 7 p.m., Tommy Bates, Independence, Kentucky. Do not miss these services. That's again, Harvest Worship Center, 21225 Jeb Stuart Highway, Stuart, Virginia. Come on and be with us. Our phone number is 276-694-4639. Come on out and be blessed in Jesus' name.
Good. I was sitting in my office a while ago and I was looking at this Bible right here, this one. I want you to hold this Bible. It's heavy, isn't it? It's old. Look at it. It's really pretty too. But there's one thing about it. You can't open it because it's just a decoration. Then I was looking at another Bible the same size. This one. It's not that heavy, is it? And guess what else? You can open it and you can read it. And you know, it looks like the same Bible. This Bible or this Bible? Which Bible is in your life? Does yours just sit? Is it like an ornamental object? Or can you actually flip through the pages and read yours? Because until you do, it will do no good. It won't do any good. So in lieu of scriptures, I'm going to, if I can hold the mic for me. All right. Let me get some eyes in because a little blurry today. I'm going to give you 11 scriptures and a prayer. How about that? Father, in the name of Jesus, you have revived us again that your people may rejoice in you. Thank you for showing us mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, and for granting us your salvation. You have created in us a clean heart, O Lord, and renewed a right, preserving, and steadfast spirit within us. You have restored us the joy of your salvation, and you are upholding us with a willing spirit. Now we will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted and returned to you. We therefore cleanse our ways by taking heed and keeping watch on ourselves according to your word, conforming our lives to it. Since your great promises are ours, we cleanse ourselves from everything that contaminates and defiles our bodies and spirits and bring our consecration to completeness in the reverential fear of God. With our whole hearts have we sought you, inquiring for you. For we are yearning for you. Oh, let us not wander or step aside, either in ignorance or willfully, from your commandments. Your word have we hid up in our hearts that we might not sin against you. Jesus, thank you for cleansing us through the word, the teachings which you have given us. We delight ourselves in your statutes. We will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servants that we may live, and we will observe your word, hearing, receiving, loving, and obeying it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we are doers of the word, not merely listeners to it. It is you, O Most High, who has revived and stimulated us according to your word. Thank you for turning away our eyes from beholding vanity, idols, and idolatry, and restoring us to vigorous life and health in your ways. Behold, we long for your precepts and your righteousness. Give us renewed life. This is our comfort and consolation in our affliction, that your word has revived us and given us life. We strip ourselves of our former natures. We put off and we discard our old unrenewed selves, which characterized our previous manner of life. We are constantly renewed in the spirits of our minds, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. And we put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in Christ's image, godlike, in true righteousness and holiness. Though our outward man is progressively decaying and wasting away, no matter how much Mary Kay you use, our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. Hallelujah. Amen. And it is renewed. It is renewed by the word of God. So when you pick up the Bible, make sure you don't pick up this one. Pick up this one. And open those pages, amen. Well, I'm ready to worship God. How about you folks?
Amen, amen. And don't pick it up to hit your husband or in the head with it either, amen.
Jesus. When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Stand.
is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 And my fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love.
Yes, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord.
I would be hopeless without your goodness. I would be desperate without your love. Slave to the darkness if it wasn't for the cross. You have won with your kindness. Chase me down when I was lost. Where would I be if it wasn't for the cross? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now I'm not. With your blood you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. All my shame met with mercy. Now your mercy will be my song. And oh, the glory, oh, the power of the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was a prisoner. Now blood you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. By your stripes I'm healed. By your death I live. The power of sin is overcome. It is finished. It is done. By your stripes I'm healed. Blood you bought my freedom. blood you bought my freedom. Hallelujah for the cross. Hallelujah for the cross. Yes, Lord, we bless you, Jesus. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life. You have been so, so kind to me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, yeah. Your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all. Been so, so kind to me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve. Still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, yeah. Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't.
Come on, give yourself a, give the Lord a big praise this morning. Amen. I have to get down here and get shown the microphone.
Praise the Lord. Overwhelming love of God. We're asking that you get your tithes and your offering. And while you're doing so, can we tell the Lord that we love him?
Amen.
He loved us even when we didn't love ourselves. Yes. Isn't he worthy of a praise just for that? Thank you, God, for loving us when we didn't even love ourselves.
Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Let's pray. God, we thank you for this opportunity to give to you. And Father, we're just asking that you will shine your light upon us all, God. And we're thanking you, God, for the increase that you're giving us all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Here you go.
One of you ushers.
Praise the Lord. Pastor David Coleman here. I want to give you an invitation to come and be with us May 6th and 7th. We're going to have Tommy Bates from Independence, Kentucky. You do not want to miss these services. God is going to pour out his spirit in a powerful and a marvelous way. We're looking for the Lord to show up, bringing healing to the sick, deliverance to the captives, baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. There is no telling what the Spirit of the Lord is going to do. May 6th and 7th at 7 p.m. Harvest Worship Center, Patrick Springs, Virginia, or Stuart, Virginia, either one. Both of them will show up on your GPS. We just want you to know there's a seat here for you, but you better get here early because this place is going to pack out. We're going to have a great time as we worship the Lord together and as the preaching of the word goes forth. So come on and out, May 6th and 7th, 7 p.m., Tommy Bates, Independence, Kentucky. Do not miss these services. That's, again, Harvest Worship Center, 21-225 Jeb Stuart Highway, Stuart, Virginia. Come on and be with us. Our phone number is 276-694-4639. Come on out and be blessed in Jesus' name.
It's good to see you in God's house. Amen. Amen. Everybody say, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 14, starting with verse 8. And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. So they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. And David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by my hand, like the breaking forth of waters. Therefore, they call the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they burned with fire. They were burned with fire. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you today for your word. I ask you in the name of Jesus to come touch our ears, give us ears to hear what Holy Spirit is saying to the church. We pray today, Father, that you'll meet every need. Help us to be sensitive to your touch. Holy Spirit, most of all, to follow you. Father, we thank you today for your word, your mighty word. We ask you, Father, to let it penetrate our hearts, bring forth faith and courage, Lord God, and strength. We thank you for all that you do for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it today. As we say, we desperately need you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated this morning. I know yesterday as I was preparing for this message today, Deborah asked me late last night. She says, what are you preaching on? I said, I have no idea. I said, I have no idea. So you just read and you read and you meditate and you think. So evidently God is going to be speaking to some hearts this morning because we're going to be talking about breakthrough. Breakthrough means a sudden, dramatic, an important discovery or a development. It means success. It means revolution or advancement, to move forward or even promotion in your life. It is to be catapulted from one place to the other. I don't know about you, but I'd love to be catapulted from one place to the other at times in my life. I would love to have God just come in that sudden, dramatic moment and just boom, before you know it, everything is changed. That is exactly the way that He comes. But breakthroughs are spoken of a lot, but not experienced, I believe, in the degree that we would like to experience them or as much as we would like to experience them. There have been many medical breakthroughs in the world in which we live. Matter of fact, you think about this vaccine that they just came up with. That's almost a miracle for them to come up with something like that in months. And I'm not advocating that you go get it, but what I'm telling you is that it'd be nice if they could get into a cure for cancer that quick and have it cured overnight, in just a matter of months. I believe that that can happen. But like with polio, just great advancements through medicine that have taken place. And then there have been theological breakthroughs that have changed the world's way, technological breakthroughs that have changed the world's way of doing things. Military breakthroughs that have saved thousands of lives. Thank God for the United States military. Somebody say amen. But any time that breakthroughs come, it is a direct result of an individual making up their mind to press through. Look at somebody and say, you got to press through. Press through. It's that inner knowing on the inside of you that says it's not supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be that way. How many have ever been in a place in your life, or maybe you're there now and you're saying to yourself, man, it ain't supposed to be this way. It's supposed to be this way. And I think, as we were saying last week, you know, you're either the obstacle or the catalyst for breakthrough in your life, and how true that is, because so oftentimes when the enemy attacks, we sit down and take it. And certainly God does not want us to sit down and take it. He wants us to stand and move forward. He wants us to be catapulted forward. But that takes His hand, that takes His might, and it takes His strength. But just that inner knowing that says, it's not supposed to be this way. I'm not supposed to be sick. I'm not supposed to be in poverty. I am not supposed to be depressed. I am not supposed to be in this darkness or shrouded with this right now. I'm not supposed to be under this. But we have to say to ourselves, God has allowed it to happen. God knows exactly where I am, so He's expecting me to do something. But he knows that I can't do it by myself. I'm going to have His grace, and I'm going to have His help. And so we think about the process of breakthrough, and we're going to talk about some of those things this morning. And I believe that one of those is this. Sometimes it's pain. Look at somebody and say, pain, pain. It's like that place in that Rocky movie where Mr. T is standing there and they say, what's your prediction? He says, pain, pain. And so my prediction this morning for the devil is pain, pain, pain. Come on, you know that's exactly right. Somebody needs to really get that one right there. I predict pain for the enemy. He knows that in the end that he's a loser, man. He's ended up on the wrong side of the stick. He knows that he's underneath our feet and that we have the victory. But pain is the passageway to promotion. You have come to the place where you say enough is enough. How many have ever been there? How many are ready to be there? Enough is enough. When I think about that, there's so many pictures in Scripture that began to come to my mind. And one of those is that little woman that had the issue of blood that said to herself, if I can touch the hem of His garment, things are going to change for me. It's the blind man that sat on the side of the highway crying out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the Lord called him to Himself and said, well, what do you want me to do, Lord, that I might receive my sight? And he did. You think about all the pictures in Scripture that point to people that got in that place of desperation that really simply said, enough is enough. And I think no matter where we are or who we are, depending on the situation that we're in, that we're often brought to that place through pain. You have to come to that place. And those who experience pain, they know that it's something that's seasonal. It can't last forever. It does have to change. And that's the marvelous thing about life. You may be having a bad time now, but eventually a good time will come. It may be darkness right now, but light is going to break through. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. In Psalm 34 verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. It's like Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. All men forsook me, but the Lord stood with me. How many know this morning that no matter what comes or goes, that your God is with you? He knows your low limit. He knows your pain. He knows the adversaries that rise up against you. And he knows exactly how far that you can go. Oftentimes, I know that I've thought to myself, Lord, I don't know whether I can stand right now or not. I don't know whether I can bear up this load or not. But I can hear him saying, I am in you and I'm stronger than the things that you face because I am the greater one. And sometimes it's like I can hear him saying, David, if you walk through this, I want you to know that there's promotion on the other side of this thing. He said, you may have thought that that might have been victory or this may have been promotion. He said, but there's something that I'm working in you and through you. And I promise that when I get you to that certain place, you're going to have what you can call a breakthrough. Somebody look at somebody and say, hey, you got to keep on going in the midst of pain. You got to keep on moving forward in the midst of pain. Pain is that indicator. It lets you know, man, something's not right. Something is going on. And every one of us have had some kind of pain in our life at one point or another. So I want to encourage you this morning. This is what the scripture is telling us about David in his situation. The moment that he was announced to be king, the Philistines heard it and they came against him. So often you've heard me say the Philistines stand for the forces of negation. The enemy will do anything that he can to stop you from entering into what God is drawing you into. So often in life, we just want the heavens to open, God to show up, trumpets to sound, the angels to usher in a blessing to us, and we can just sit down and just call it quits and say, praise God, I have arrived. But it doesn't work that way. Somebody say, it doesn't work that way. You see, God has a process that he works through, and that process comes one step at a time. It's just one prayer at a time, one word at a time. It is one fast day at a time. It's one faithful act at a time. It's one sacrifice at a time that I understand when I get started out of this pain, my feet may seem to get heavy, but I know that there's going to come a time when I begin to run the race. Come on, somebody. You see, if the footmen have wearied us, then how are we going to contend with horses? God is telling you to start out with, you may be dragging your feet. He said, but I'm preparing you for the really big battles. And the thing about it, he said, before you ever get to the big battle, you're going to learn to think this way. You're going to say, bring it on, devil, because I have learned a long time ago that the bear is already defeated and the lion has been rent, that my God is with me, and no matter what you bring against me, it will not stand. Somebody say amen. Declare this. Say, no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper, and every mouth that rises against me in judgment, I will show it to be in the wrong in Jesus' name. See, it's in the quiet place and where nobody else is looking that God knows who you are. It's what you do in private that counts, not what you do in public so much. It's when you're alone and God sees your faithfulness and your integrity, and God knows you more than anybody else does. And God just saying, you just keep on in the process. Everything is going to work out to your good. I can promise you that. Can we give God a praise right there? It can be pain. I know some time back, I know that when Deborah went through lymphoma the first time, and, you know, and then, you know, she wore a wig and most people didn't know this, and she would come to church and she would look just as normal as anybody. But I'm going to tell you something. When you look in the face of somebody and you see a few sprigs of hair sticking out of a bald head, or you see them plugged up taking chemotherapy for solid weeks at a time, every single month, having that juice pumped in you, and you're lying there and you're having pain. They say you can't smell the urine, don't go around the urine when they go to the bathroom. You have to be so careful around the chemo and all the drugs that are taking place there, and you see the devil trying to grapple for the life of your spouse, and you're thinking, man, you know, God, I can't even begin to imagine what she is walking through and what is going on, you know, there in her mind. But I could just imagine, you know, the enemy saying to her in the midst of that pain, you'll never live. You're going to die. You're not going to make it into the future. You're never going to see what God has called you to see, or God has called you to have. But I felt the Lord rise up in me in prayer yesterday. And this morning, God got me up early and I was seeking his face, and the Lord began to speak to me, and he said this: you shall not die, but you will live, and you will declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. God said, that I spoke to you, it shall surely come to pass. For the enemy will see the time that he wished he had never touched you. For God says, it's only during this wilderness time that I've been able to pour into you and speak to you in volumes and ways, says the Spirit of God, than I never have before. Even in the visitations that I've came to you with, says the Spirit of God, in times past, and I've spoken to you things that you've said in your heart and mind, God, how can this be? But yea, says the Spirit of God, just a little while, and you're going to see my hand move. You're going to see my glory come down, and you're going to see my fire fall. For I say, the Lord says to you, my daughter, are you not a Deborah, a prophetess? I say unto you, my daughter, what you speak with your mouth is powerful. So therefore prophesy into the future and say, it belongs to me, says the Spirit of the living God. You shall not take it from me, says the Spirit of the Lord. For I shall do great things in the earth, the God of heaven has told me. Somebody say praise God this morning. But see, we think we go through trials, and I know there's other people that go through things in life, but I want to tell you something this morning. It's quite freaky when you look over and you see your wife that has a full head of hair, and she's always been told how beautiful and thick it is, and then to just see her when the makeup's off and the paleness of the skin and that few sprigs of hair sticking up, and I cry out inside and say, you demon out of hell, in the name of Jesus, you're defeated by the blood. Jesus Christ bore her sicknesses. He bore her diseases, and with his stripes, she is healed. Glory to God. And I want to say to every adversary this morning, you better be careful how you touch the anointing of God. You better be careful how you rise up against the things of God, because the curse of hell will come upon your life, and you would to God that you never touched his anointed. It's important for us to understand pain can take us to breakthrough. We never know what God is at working in us. See, I've seen so many people climb the ladder so quickly and go there, stepping on other people to get there. But my friend, remember, when you get to the top, you got to come back down, and you'll have to face the same people that you stepped on going up the ladder. I'd rather start at the bottom and say, God, if I never touch the top rung, I just want to keep holding your hand. If I never, never get the accolades of men, I just want to keep my hand in yours. God, if I have to walk through pure wilderness and hell on this earth just to know that I'm going to be with you one day and that I've done what's right, God, it's going to be worth it all. But I've got enough sense to know that it may start out in hell, but it'll end up in heaven. Weeping may endure through the night, but joy is coming in the morning. I've got enough sense to know that promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but it comes from the Lord who puts down one and sets up another. God, somebody say, God, my God is in control of my life. It's me. He may not be in control of the world system, but he causes the universe to spin. He is in control of your life if you're walking with him. Pain is only an indicator you're moving in the right direction. Pain, no pain, no gain. Somebody look at somebody and say, no pain, no gain. No gain. My friend Jesus knew all about pain. That lowly week when he spent upon this earth called the Passion Week, He looked at those faithful followers and he spoke these words, and I love this. He said, "You are the ones that remained with me through my sufferings." See, I'm going to tell you, God never forgets when you stand with the faithful. God never forgets when you don't turn your back in the time of trouble. God never forgets when you stand and do the things that are right. Because when you stand for him, he stands for you. Somebody say amen. I'm reminded of Stephen as he's being stoned. The Bible said that when he lay there and the rocks are being hurled upon him, that he looked up, saw the heavens open, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of the Father. And lo and behold, what comes out of him? Not "God curse these people, burn them up alive, but Father forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." I'm telling you, the pain, come on, the pain is worth the gain. The pain is worth the gain. You can do it. You can face it. You can run the race. You can do what God wants you to do. Hell cannot stop you. And in the world in which we live, I can guarantee you this: in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Jesus, everybody say, Jesus has overcome the world. Hallelujah. I'm going to hold his hand. We're going to run together. You're going to run with him, and it's going to be all right. Somebody says, we win in the end. Glory to God. It can be pain. Also, attitude can determine breakthrough. Don't get mad, get glad. Look at somebody and say, don't get mad, get glad. Remember that song we sang here a few months back? Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. You got to be happy. Say, don't get mad, get glad. So you cannot have a lay down, don't care attitude, or just "I'm just going to roll over and die" attitude and make it in life. If you're going to fly high like the eagle, you're going to have a positive attitude. I can do all things, Philippians 4:13, through Christ who gives me the strength. Look at somebody and say, you can. Say, I can. You can. Romans 8:32, God be for me. Who can be against me? Who can be against me? You got to have a made up mind, a good attitude, a good mental, spiritual attitude, a made up mind. This is what God said, that settles it. Psalm 119 verse 89. That's it. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter what people do, and people can do some dumb stuff. How many has ever done something dumb? Don't raise your hand. See, I've already seen it. Take a picture of that. Honesty is just so great. Praise God. You're going to have to accept the fact you may have to face things alone in life. Because everybody, nobody, listen, there's going to be sometimes, there's no way that I can understand everything that she goes through. And you can't either. No matter what kind of pain you've been through. See, you've been through things that I've never been through. I could not find your pain. I couldn't feel that. I've been through some tremendous things. I've had a lot of pain. But there's some things that I just don't know because I've never experienced it. But we have a high priest which can be touched to the feelings of our infirmities, who is in all manner tempted like us unto we are, yet without sin. Jesus said, "That's okay, let me get my shoulder under here. I'm going to help you like Simon and Cyrene helped me carry my cross. I'm going to put my big old shoulder with you and I'm going to hurl up your cross under my shoulder and we're going to walk together." Somebody say amen. And see, that's the thing about God. He said, "I'm just looking for somebody that will have the attitude. Lord Jesus, I count it all joy to be in the sufferings with you. I count it all joy to be involved in the trial that I'm in right now, in the middle of the test that I'm going through. I just thank you right now that I have been considered worthy to be able to face the trial and to walk through this together with you." A good attitude. Remember, all the buzzards hang out in crowds. Eagles fly alone. Look at somebody and say, alone is okay. Alone is okay. God made us as social creatures. He made us, you know, to have fellowship one with another. But sometimes you got to walk through things alone. Because people will look at you and say, I don't understand. And you'll try to get them to understand. You want them to have empathy and you want them to connect with you. And they're not going to be able to do it. But I can tell you, there is one that knows where you're at. His name is Jesus. Come on. He is the great attorney. He's the great God of heaven. He's everything that you need. Somebody say amen. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched of the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus knows. Somebody say he knows. So don't you ever say anything that you don't want your enemy to believe. Because when you get in the presence of people and you're trying to explain to them what you're going through or how you feel, they'll misquote you, they'll abuse you, they'll misuse you, and then they'll think of you in a different light because they'll look at you in a weak manner because they have never walked through what you've walked through. See, your weakness or the thing that you face or the pain that's in your life doesn't mean that God disfavors you or dislikes you. It means that God's hand is on your life for a particular thing. Listen, none of us have gone through what Job went through. Thank God that I can tell you he came out on top because he hung out with God. All of his friends, Bildad, Elias, all these guys that were there that were supposed to be his aides and speak kindly to them, they looked at him and they began to accuse him. So quit trying to make other people see what you're going through. I want you to feel my pain. I want you to feel my hurt. How about just pray for me? Somebody look at somebody and say, just pray for me. Just pray for me and pray in tongues. Amen. Enough old goofy stuff where people pray goofy things over you. Oh, Father, I think that they need this. And Father, I pray that you do this. You're not God. You don't know what I need. Pray in the Spirit. The Holy Ghost knows. When we know not how we ought to pray, the Spirit himself maketh intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. He's talking about praying in the Spirit. Listen, attitude. Somebody say a good attitude. Good attitude. Having a winning spirit. Somebody say, I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. Amen. I have to let the voice of victory drown out the voice of defeat in my mind. I have to begin to hear God speaking to me because listen, there's going to be enough Bildads in the world that can bring the bad news. There's going to be enough of those buzzards flying around over your head just waiting for that smelling death and they're wanting death and they're looking for the moment that you draw the last breath. But what they don't believe is resurrection. They're just a Sadducee. But I can tell you this morning that your God is a resurrector. He's a rebuilder. He's a renewer. And so have a good attitude and say, God, I don't understand everything, but I do know this. I'm going to have a good attitude and say, well, Father, if I'm going to walk through this wilderness, you're going to walk with me. Jesus, if I'm going through this fiery trial, you're going with me. Amen. Isn't that what the three Hebrew children did? Our God's able to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, we're still not going to bow to you, O king, you, O wicked king, you. And so they put their faith in God and they went into the furnace and Jesus shows up in the furnace. I have to go back and say they had an attitude that said, hey, our God's never left us. He's never forsaken us. He's gone with us all the way so far. And I just have to say with Jesus in John 14, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm going with you all the way, even unto the end of the world. I've got enough sense to know that if I'm in the wilderness, if I'm in the fire, if I'm in the trial, my God is sitting right beside of me. I have an attitude that says I am in good company. Because angels are with me. God is with me. Somebody said, the devil's with me. I'm not so focused on the devil as I am the fact that devil, I don't know what you're cunning up or what you're wiling up right now, but I can say this to you. You are defeated because my God has already won the battle. Victory belongs to me and I'm going to come out on top in Jesus' name. Somebody say hallelujah. And I'm going to be clothed in glory when I emerge from this. We have to expect to master every obstacle that comes our way. We have to master those things. And the only way to do it is by the word. And Deborah brought that out so well this morning with that little illustration. I've seen a few people I'd like to take that when it wouldn't open and hit in the head. Did I say that? Excuse me, let me get behind this now. But just think, within the pages of this book is every answer you'll ever need. My attitude has to be, I may not know it, but I can find it. I said, I may not know it yet, but I can find it. It's in here. It's in here. It's in here. It's in here. All you got to do is search, because eternal life is right here. The blessing of God is in the book. Somebody say it's in the book. And I know that his instruction is going to cause me to have a good success. Paul said in Romans 8 and 26, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hallelujah. See, we have to have an attitude that sees the end of the story. Number one, because Jesus has already solved your problem. You may be entering into it, but Jesus has the solution to it. Somebody say, praise God. I may just have gotten started into the battle, but the victory already belongs to me. I have to be able to see through the eyes of vision that God has already won the thing. It's already solved. My problem is solved. The issues are over in Jesus' name. Somebody say, amen. You think about what the father said to his son. He said, you come, son, and you sit here at my right hand until all your enemies become your footstool. Amen. Where's Jesus? Say, at the right hand of the father. He's waiting, having a good attitude. The good attitude. Have you ever met people with a bad attitude? Say, man, you bad. You're bad. A bad attitude. You know what that comes from? Comes from no relationship with this. If your attitude is being affected, then get the effectual working of the word going on. Oh my goodness. Get you some word that you can stand with and change your attitude. Praise God. It's like, here we are. What did they say? Who cares? Doesn't matter. What did he say? Because what he said changes things. Oh, come on, somebody. I said, what he says changes things. He stood up in the beginning when it was a void, chaotic mess this world was in, and he said, let there be light. I want the one on my side that doesn't repeat what somebody else says, but's able to speak and create something brand new. Because sometimes we just have to have God show up, blast everything else away, rebuild it like he did in Genesis, and make all things new. That's what Jesus came to do, to make everything new. Somebody say hallelujah. Have a good attitude. And then you can expect supernatural intervention. Expect supernatural intervention. You see, our God carefully observes every satanic attack that comes against us. Amen. It's just like you guys are small kids. You let them run around the house, but every once in a while you peek around the corner and see what they're doing. Say, they done got quiet. I need to go check them out. Then you go in and got powders all over them from head to toe. Or they turn. I know one time when Austin was little, we had a 3-gallon container of Cheetos. And Mr. Orange was sitting in the floor. Everything got quiet and all the Cheetos were in the floor. And he was orange from head to toe. And he said, see, and we let the kids go because we say there's nothing that can hurt them majorly. They might pull something off, turn something over and break it. But we know, you know, when they get quiet, we go to see what's going on. All right, they've gotten into something. See, our God carefully observes everything that goes on in our lives. Amen? Everything. Even when the kids go outside, we'll peek out the window. We'll look out the window again. We'll get one of the other kids. Go check on them. Go see what's happening. Because, you know, I'm trying to cook. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. But we always keep that close eye on them. Somebody say amen. But we always have in our mind, you know, something could happen. They could get a boo-boo. Amen. They could get a scrape. But it's at that moment, you know, when that child screams out, How many of you, you know, when your baby just screams at the top of his voice, that blood-curdling scream, it's something in the nature of a person that has a child that when that happens, no door, no wall, no person, get out of my way, honey. I am coming, and you better not be between me and my kid because I'm coming to the rescue. Somebody say amen. Mm-hmm. See, that's natural intervention. Somebody say natural intervention. I remember when we were growing up, me and my cousin Everett, who was here a few years ago, that lives in Nevada, lives out there. And so, you know, my cousins were up on the hill. We were riding our bicycle. We were coming down the hill, the asphalt road. And so we were just moving on, man. You know, I was going to show off. I was going to wind that bicycle out. And old Everett stuck his foot in the spokes at the swag of the hill. We both went up in the air, came down. I peeled off the back of my head back here. I got scars everywhere. And I remember Everett, he was just scraped from here. He had road rash. Looked like he'd been on a Harley Davidson, just slid down the asphalt. And so I remember going into the house, and my grandmother was such an emotional person, and my mother was not as type of emotional she was. My granny would pass out at the sight of blood. And so I walked in. Everything looked fine on this side. But when I turned around, it was blood from head to toe. Oh, my God. He's ripped the back of his head off. I mean, I can still remember them stinging. You know, you don't say that in front of a kid. Come on. How, can I get some agreement here? You don't say that to a kid. Let's go to the hospital. Well, I thought I was dying then. I mean, up to that time, I just had knew I hit the road, man, hard. And you know, so I went running to the house, and, you know, because you want to first thing you want to do is contact the parent. Somebody say amen. And so it was either dad or mom, and I went running in. And so we got Everett up there, and then they rushed us to the hospital. Come on. That's natural intervention. Natural intervention. Well, what do you think that your Father in heaven is going to do when the devil starts messing with you? There's going to be a certain place that he observes it, just like he did for Job. And then he looks at Job's buddies and said, y'all shut up. This is what I'm going to do for you. Job, this is what I'm going to do for you. And the latter end of Job was blessed greater than the beginning of Job's life was. He lost a lot. But see, when divine intervention comes, God wants you to know that when he brings his divine intervention, that all the naysayers and everybody that wanted to bury you and everybody that stood against you is going to have to stand back and watch you be blessed in the name of Jesus. They're going to have to watch the heavens open up and God Almighty release the angelic host of heaven and God to pour blessing out upon you like you've never seen it before. Somebody say hallelujah. I want divine intervention, not fleshly intervention. I want the Holy Ghost to intervene for me. In Acts chapter number 12, we read the story how that, you know, that Herod had killed James and persecution had broken out. And then he laid hands on Peter and then he put him in the prison. And the Bible says the inner prison. And we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, maybe back at Easter. I can't remember now. But when they took somebody and put them in an inner prison, it was a person of great importance because they were kind of nervous about this individual and afraid of them. But I want you to understand that Peter was doing what was right. Somebody say Peter was doing what was right. It was the enemy that didn't like Peter to do what was right because he knew I used to have that guy. Man, he cussed every breath. Man, he would do exactly what I wanted him to do. He was just as raw as they come. I mean, he was so vacillating and impetuous in his life. He would smack somebody upside the head 1 minute, cuss them out, then run out in the middle of the sea, strip off in the boat, and get drunk. It sure did get quiet. But that's what happened. He's that kind of a guy. But here Peter is, he's locked up in prison, in the inner prison between four quarterions of soldiers and locked in the inner prison because of doing what Jesus wanted him to do. Are you listening to me? Somebody say, expect supernatural intervention. And so the Bible said that the church went to prayer. This is the great thing. Man, I thank God for our church who prayed 24 hours, you know, a couple of weeks ago on that Friday night came and sought the face of God. And so here the church went to prayer. The Bible said that they prayed without ceasing. Peter is in prison. They've already stretched forth the hand against certain in the church to vex them, persecute them. Trouble is breaking out. Satan is trying one big launch against the body of Christ because he wants to stop this apostolic movement before it ever gets started. Is anybody hearing me this morning? And then all of a sudden, as Peter is in prison between four quarterions of soldiers, the Bible said that an angel shows up. Somebody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God. Somebody say, thank God for the angels of heaven. The angel shows up, walks in, touches Peter, and his chains fall off of him. Man, I like that. Can I tell you this morning that I believe that some people's chains are about to fall off of them? Can I say this, that across America where Satan has risen up to vex the church through this COVID thing, through fear in people, I see it everywhere that I go, fear in people's faces. You cannot see the facial expressions, but I announce to you, devil, if you think for one moment that our God is not carefully observing from a distance what's going on with his children and listening to what you want to do, you're sadly mistaken. I want to say, body of Christ, get ready for heavenly intervention of the supernatural power of the living God. There's going to be angelic appearances. There's going to be supernatural signs and wonders that come into the body of Christ. Somebody say, hallelujah. They hated Peter because a lame man walked. They hated Peter because his shadow was healing people. Oh my God. Somebody, let's go to Walmart and get anointed so that people can get healed in Jesus' name. Expect supernatural intervention. And see, this is the angel said to him, rise, rise. Don't only rise, but rise quick. And see, that's what happens, man. When God shows up, you got to move with him. Somebody say, move with God. Don't say, what's going on here, man? You've got to move with God. You have to move with God. You got to expect supernatural intervention. Say, expect it, expect it. Listen to Deuteronomy 3:22. You shall not fear them, for the Lord your God will fight for you. I'm going to tell you tonight, you may be in a place where you feel like that you can't fight, and that's all right. Sometimes God just says, I know where you're at. I've been observing what the devil's doing, and this is my instruction to you. Stand still and see the salvation of your God. Can I put it another way? Stand still and watch your God roll up his sleeve and ball up his fist. Stand still and see the glory of God move on your behalf. Stand still. You're not going to need to fight right now in this battle because the Lord your God is coming to fight for you. Honey, I'm going to tell you, we need to expect supernatural intervention. Somebody say hallelujah. See, wouldn't it be amazing for God just to show up and have an angel just standing out at the entrance, waving people in the parking lot? You know that can happen. Somebody say, yes, that can. That can happen. Praise God. I need to expect supernatural intervention, no matter what it is. It could be a financial intervention. God can bless you and meet your need. It could be a healing intervention. God steps in supernaturally and works a miracle for you. You have no idea what's getting ready to happen. Somebody say, praise God. I didn't even tell Deborah the other day when we were riding down, you know, to North Carolina, the Spirit of God came up on me, and man, he just remained. And I was sitting there, and the Lord just spoke to me and said, I'm healing you right now. And so I was sitting there, and he says, I'm healing you because I just want to do it. Not because you asked, not because you said, I'm just doing it because I want to. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, man, this feels good. Whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. Because I'm not going to interrupt. I never said a word, but I was sitting there thinking, man, that's supernatural intervention. Somebody say supernatural intervention. Praise God. See, I'm telling you right now, most of the time, it is that mental block. It's the voices of people. It's the commotion that's around us that causes us not to have the divine supernatural intervention of God. But may I tell you this today, you may feel like that you've come to the end of your rope, but I can tell you this, you're not going to have to hang on. If you drop off, God's going to catch you in his arms. I want to tell you today that your God is sending supernatural intervention on your behalf, and everything is going to turn out good. Somebody say glory to God. Yes, it is, in Jesus' name. Somebody say yes. Yes. And then also, when you're in the midst of a battle, you have to focus on the spoils of war that are there. Men do not fight battles for no reason. Amen. That's why we as Christians are to be selective in what we do. You should never engage in a battle unless the Holy Spirit leads you to do it. Amen. When the Spirit of God comes and leads you into it, it's a whole lot different thing. Somebody say amen. Men fight for a reason. I said men fight for a reason. That's the reason when wars have been fought without the resolve of we're going to win this as a nation, that we have soldiers that return disillusioned. Because the objective should always be to win. To win. I'm not leaving home without knowing I'm going to win. I'm not engaging in a battle unless I know that Jesus has already won the war. Amen? Now listen to me. I'm talking about something different from agreeing with a person for the children to be saved or lives to be changed or praying, you know, just the common prayers, praying for the church or praying. I'm talking about engaging in a spiritual warfare that God didn't lead you to do. There's a big difference. When you study the scripture, when these people went to war, it was because God sent them. God sent them with a plan. God sent them to win. He sent them to get the spoils of war. He didn't send them to get beat up and run. And anytime they got beat up and run, it was because of disobedience. So everybody go like this. Say, listen to Jesus. When you go into battle, or if you're in the midst of a battle, you got to focus on the spoils of war. If you're in battle and Satan has risen up against you and he's came against your life, that's a great indicator. You're in war. You didn't ask for it. The enemy has attacked you. And when the enemy attacks you, it's a whole different ball game. Somebody say, yes, it is. And so the first thing that God wants us to do is when the enemy attacks is come from the standpoint that says, thanks be unto God who giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. He always causes me to triumph. Always. Always. The Apostle Paul always came from the standpoint of being a winner, a triumphant individual. And so we should never go to war unless it pays big. Why was Paul so determined to go stand before Caesar? Not just Felix, not just any of these, Herod, not just any of these little guys. But he said, look, I want to stand before him. This is my assignment. My assignment is to the Gentiles, but my assignment of death is to stand before Caesar. He said, because this is where God wants me to take it, all the way to the top. Somebody say to the top. To the top. And so when you enter into battle or you're drawn into it, you have to focus on the spoils of war. What's in this for me? Somebody says it's kind of selfish. No. If your God is leading you into battle, it's so that you can come out better and blessed, more blessed than you were before you went in. Not to come out of that battle half dead, stripped, and broke, and mentally abused. Come on, somebody. If your God leads you into battle, that means that you are more than able to conquer everything that God has sent you to do. And so when David faced Goliath, he was fully aware of the benefits that were there for him. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 26 and 27, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man that kills this Philistine giant, takes away the reproach from Israel? And who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done. For the man that kills the giant. Great riches. You'll marry the king's daughter. I'd have said, what does she look like? Amen. Your father's house will be set free. So David knew the reward and the spoils of war before he went to face Goliath. Somebody say hallelujah. And so we do too. We have to begin to think, okay, what's in this battle for me? What's in this? What's in this battle for us? Why are we on earth waging war? Why are we on earth engaged in battle? Why do we want the soul of Patrick County? Why do we want the soul of a geographical location? Why do we want God to move? Why? It is simply because that I know that the giants of drugs and alcoholism and prostitution and sin and darkness are not supposed to be in rule or control, because Jesus has appointed unto us a kingdom. Come on, somebody. And so he's given us great authority that we should go forth and preach the gospel and share the good news and set the prisoner free. Somebody say amen. The first place that has to happen is right here. I have to begin to get focused and say, okay, God, what's in this for me? It is to see that young lady or that young man or that person that is in such bondage come down the altar with tears streaming down their cheeks. Their lives are broken, maybe from adultery. Their lives are broken because of alcoholism. Whatever that the issue may be, I know this one thing, that if the presence and the Spirit of God can get them and draw them into his presence, it is because somebody has prayed and warred and pulled down the stronghold and created an atmosphere where the Holy Ghost of heaven can call them to Jesus. Somebody say amen. Our reward is to see the powers of hell broken right there, right in the presence of God at the altar, set free, never to have another desire to do drugs or to be prostituted or another drink of alcohol in their life. To see that thing completely destroyed in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you this morning or about me, but that's what happened for me. And that's really what happened for you. You may not really think about it today, but you were on your way to hell until Jesus stepped across the line by his blood and said, hell can come no further. Devil, loose him and let him go. And by his blood, he has saved us and raised us up together. Come on, to be seated together in the heavenly places with him. We belong to him. But it's time to let the devil know. See, this is where the reward comes in. The reward is this. COVID can come so far, but it can't come this far. The reward is this, is that we're believing God for Goshen right here, where darkness cannot enter, disease cannot enter, plagues cannot enter. Come on, we're living in Psalm number 91. It's one thing to preach it. It's one thing to teach it. It's another thing to even talk about it. It's a quite different thing to live in that moment and in that place in the spirit, the place of immunity from the attack of hell and what the enemy brings against us that he wants to destroy us with. So I have to consider the spoils of war. Am I willing to pray every day? Am I willing to fast? Show me the spoils of war. What am I going to get if I do this? What am I going to get if I live for Jesus on this earth? Listen, my friend, if all we have in this life, are you hearing me this morning? We have to understand that in this life, you're serving Jesus because you're believing that he washed away your sin. Well, that's a big deal to have your sin washed away, but there's more to it than that. It is to spend eternity in the presence of a living God, free from the influence of evil and darkness. Praise the Lord. Never to die again, never to be sick, never to have a need or a want in your life, because now you're in the presence of the living God. Come on. It makes it worth every step that you take to move toward heaven. Come on, somebody. That perfect place. And see, here we are as Christians. We get beat up on, stomped on, walked on. The devil does this, the devil does that. But we need to really concentrate on the fact that I'm really walking this thing because, number one, I'm going to have spoils from the war that I've been in, because Jesus Christ said, you shall all stand before the bema seat of Christ, that you may receive the things that you've done in your body, whether they've been good or bad. Do you know that one day that every prayer that you pray, every time you come to church, every time you read the Bible, every time you win a soul, every time that you smile at somebody and do something in the light of God, that the angels have written it down and they're keeping score, that when we get to heaven, that the rewards are going to be passed out? We're living in a time, though, where people have begun to believe everybody gets a trophy. I'm going to tell you, everybody's not going to get the big, big trophy. There's going to be some Pauls and some Peters and some Andrew. Come on, somebody. There's going to be some Martin Luthers. There's going to be some people in heaven that when we see them, we're going to say, my God, what I did for Christ pales in the face of what they did. So I'm encouraging you this morning to go for the spoils of war. Say, devil, I'm tearing down your stronghold. You're not going to have the body of Christ. We're going to have revival. We're going to have a great awakening. We're going to see the captive set free. That when I get to heaven and they play that film, I'm not going to be like the poor timid person that was afraid to go out or to get bloodied or marred. When you count the spoils of war, it makes all the difference. So ask yourself the question, is it worth it? Yes. Is it worth it? Yes. Yes. It's worth it that every hardship and every trial and every testing that we have will be met with a reward in Christ Jesus. But that's what Paul meant when he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. What was his next line? Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me, and not only to me, but all those who love his appearing. Hallelujah. What are you gathering in store for the spoils of war? Amen. There is a reward for those who tuck their tail and run. There is a reward for those who stand back and point the finger at everybody else who's working. There is a reward for those who accuse and persecute. There is a reward for those who are lukewarm and half-hearted and cold and indifferent and apathetic. There is a reward for those who are filled with malice and greed and cunning and fleshly works. There is a reward. I don't have to worry about whether God's going to reward them or not. My desire is that everybody catch on fire. And my desire is that we all have a crown of righteousness that the Lord shall give unto us. See, if you love his appearing, that's part of the reward. You're saying, Jesus, if Lord, whatever that I get on this earth, I just want to place it at your feet. I just want to give it to you. I just want to lay it before you. And see, I want to encourage you this morning in the fact that God, your God, is keeping the score. The spoils of war for those who stand and are strong and fight the battle. See, the very thing, you're fighting and you're pressing in and you're moving toward God, the angels are writing that down. You could just sit down and say, forget it. If this is all there is to it, I quit. God, if you're not going to do this for me, I'm just not going to do nothing for you. See, but that's not your attitude. Your attitude is to say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you, come hell or high water, life or death, whatever that it takes, I am going to follow you. David said, what's the spoils? It's all right to ask the question because the book answers it. Amen. He gives all the rewards in the book. So when we look at the reward of the righteous and what God has in store, it's worth every tear. You know, think about God. He never misses anything. When you get to heaven, he's got your tears bottled up. Amen. Every tear you've ever cried, God's got a room. He's got your name written on the bottle. And every tear that you've ever cried, he's got it right there. Now, that's intricate. I said, that is real intricate. That's intimate, too. Amen. Say, it's okay to cry. Weeping may endure through the night. Are you willing to weep for the lost? Are you willing to weep over what the enemy is able to do? Are you able to weep for the souls of men? See, because God's saying, I've got it stored up. I know when your heart's been touched to the deep. I know when you've been hurt. I've got those tears in here. I know when you've rejoiced. I got those tears in here. I know the day you got saved. I got those tears in here. I got your first child's tears in here. I've got everything is in the bottle. It's glory to God. Somebody say, now that's breakthrough right there. That's breakthrough. So today God in heaven is telling us, you're either the obstacle or the catalyst for your breakthrough. Being an obstacle is when you just won't let God work. That's what I said, that Waymaker song. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. The Holy One of Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. Man, he watches over me in the night hours. He's looking over me. You may not understand it, but while you're even asleep, God is pouring something in you for tomorrow. when you are, it's like when the boxer gets dazed and they come with those smelling salts to try to bring them back. You see, that's what God does for you, man. When you get dazed, God just puts some aroma of the Holy Ghost under your nose and you come back too in Jesus' name. Somebody say, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So learn. I like this. In the Gladiator, the movie. Anybody ever seen the Gladiator, the movie? You know, and he's standing there. He's talking about Marcus Aurelius. And he said, a man once asked me one time, what do you do when death looks you in the face? He says, you look back and smile. I think that's good. Hallelujah. Because when you've been at death's door and death looks at you, you can look at death and smile and say, not now. Not right now. I'm not going yet. It's not my time. My departure's not at hand yet. See, I'm not leaving until God gets through with me. Praise God. I want us to stand on our feet this morning. Barry, y'all come on up, please. Praise team. Breakthrough. Oh, Holy Spirit. You know the answer for discouragement? Encouragement. David said, when I didn't know what to do, I encouraged myself in the Lord. What was he saying? He said, look, I'm so discouraged. There's not one thing I know what to do. He said, that is to encourage myself in the Lord my God. And that's what he did. This morning, I want you to bow your head. And I want you to think for a few moments. Are you at the place in your life where you need a breakthrough? Do you need that divine intervention? Do you need to be catapulted forward? Do you need the Lord to give breakthrough in your life? Does it appear like the path that you're following right now is just chaotic? It's just like, you know, God, Lord, when's this thing going to break? You know, God, when is this thing going to end? When are things going to change for me? It's in that moment that you're in right there that God wants you to be able to see through the smoke screen the enemy's throwing. He wants you to be able to see that breakthrough belongs to you. It's like when the Philistines showed up and found out that David was anointed king. They did everything to discourage him, to come against him, to rise against him. But this is what they did. They came out in the power of their gods. And that's what Satan does. He comes out with everything that he has to try to discourage, to stop, to disorient you and to try to turn you to the left or to the right, doing his best. And so David prayed, God, shall I rise up and fight this enemy? And God says, yes, you shall. And so God comes with supernatural intervention by sending an angelic host. This army is defeated of the Philistines. They're absolutely wiped out. And then what does David do? He gathers their gods together and he burns them. That is significant because what the Spirit of God is saying, he says, look, when you whip the enemy's tail, you make sure you burn down everything he's used because the ashes of it can never come back to life where he's concerned. Our God is the only God that can give beauty for ashes or raise up out of the ashes anything. Satan does not have that ability. So this morning, right now, whatever head is bowed, if you're here today and you may need Jesus to move over something, you showed up this morning and you're saying, God, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. Right now, with every head bowed, I want you to meet me at this altar today. If you need to be born again, you need to be saved. Your sins need to be washed away. I want you to meet me at this altar. If you're broken, if you're hurting, if you're discouraged, if you're despondent, if you're disoriented, or if you're dismayed, or whatever that it is, I want you to meet me at this altar today. You need a breakthrough. God wants to give you breakthrough. I want you to come right now. Come and let's pray together. We're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. Respond to Him right now. Respond. Because you're either the catalyst for your breakthrough or you're the obstacle. You don't want to be the obstacle. You don't want your resistance to prevent what God wants to do. So yield to His hand right now in Jesus' name. Just come. Just come. Come to this altar. The altar is the place that God chooses to meet man right here. Right here. Jesus is present. Jesus is present. Jesus is present. Step out. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
You sing.
Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Step out. Obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough in my family. I need a breakthrough in my finances. I need a breakthrough in my marriage. I need a breakthrough in my mind. I need a breakthrough in my soul. I need a breakthrough in my spirit. I need a breakthrough where my friends are concerned. I need a breakthrough.
You breathe your
I want you to come in Jesus' name. Come in the name of the Lord.
You have been so, so kind.
Thank you, Jesus. God's moving right now. God is moving in your life right now. There's chains that are breaking. The moment that you stepped out to move toward Him, God's hand was released to move toward you. It's not by happenstance or coincidence. Right now, that you're in the moment that you're in, God is moving. God is moving. He's changing things. He's changing things. He's changing things in Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Pastor David Coleman here. I want to give you an invitation to come and be with us May 6th and 7th. We're going to have Tommy Bates from Independence, Kentucky. You do not want to miss these services. God is going to pour out His Spirit in a powerful and a marvelous way. We're looking for the Lord to show up, bringing healing to the sick, deliverance to the captives, baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. There is no telling what the Spirit of the Lord is going to do. May 6th and 7th at 7 p.m. Harvest Worship Center, Patrick Springs, Virginia, or Stuart, Virginia, either one. Both of them will show up on your GPS. We just want you to know there's a seat here for you, but you better get here early because this place is going to pack out. We're going to have a great time as we worship the Lord together and as the preaching of the Word goes forth. So come on and out May 6th and 7th, 7 p.m., Tommy Bates, Independence, Kentucky. Do not miss these services. That's, again, Harvest Worship Center, 21-225 Jeb Stuart Highway, Stuart, Virginia. Come on and be with us. Our phone number is 276-694-4639. Come on out and be blessed in Jesus' name.